Good morning, guys. I am going to try my very best to not cough and sneeze into this. The last time, I know we do offering messages, but the last time I spoke on a Sunday here, I looked like this guy. My hairline was so strong. What has happened? They talk about the Great Recession, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, come soon. Oh, my goodness. And I was wearing these, like, bright turquoise pants. Don't Google it. Hey, great to see you guys and speak to you this morning. I have something good for you. This morning I'm going to talk about serving victoriously. I have a scripture, and then we'll pray. Let's go to Judges 15, Old Testament verse. That's pretty good. You know, this is a weird Sunday because it's right after Christmas, but it's not the new year yet. So you don't want to call it a throwaway Sunday, but I'm here. So that tells you, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Self-deprecating humor is how you connect with the audience. Jesus, help me. Hey, check this out. Judges 15, we're going to read 6 verses. I think they have it on the screen. We're talking about Samson, and he's in a bad situation. His wife was taken away. He got the old switcheroo, and they gave him the wife's sister. Nobody wants that. So he flips out. I'm giving you Luke, the LDL version. He flips out, goes and catches 300 foxes. This is literally in the Bible. I'm talking to people that know the Bible, so, you know. But I'm not sure you've done this one very often. He flips out, gets super mad, catches 300 foxes. How long does that take? He ties their tails together, lights their tails on fire, and sends them into the enemy's crops to burn all their crops down. I'm like, and I sometimes think I'm dramatic. Like, that guy had issues, you know what I mean? Like, he really wasn't saved, if you think about it. And so that's a weird reaction. So then all his buddies say, hey, this is literally in the Bible. They're like, hey, we really can't have you doing that anymore, so we're just going to give you to the Philistines. He's like, what? Betrayal. And he's like, but just don't kill me. They're like, okay, fine, we won't kill you. They tie his hands, and they are marching him to go give him away because they just really can't handle him anymore. Ever had a buddy like that? Okay, so here's where we start. Okay, so when they came to a place called Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him, Samson. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. Another translation says it came powerfully upon him. Amen. And the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that had caught on fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. Then he found, ready for a little curve in the story? Then he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. He put his hand out and took it, and with it he struck 1,000 men. And Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have struck down 1,000 men. As soon as he had finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone out of his hand. That place was called Ramath-Lehi, however you say that, which means the hill of the jawbone. He was very thirsty. I feel plot twists with every sentence. Because, you know, when you kill 1,000 guys with the jawbone of a donkey, you really need some than the drink. He already caught 300 foxes that day. So he was worn out. Very productive guy. So he's very thirsty. He called upon the Lord and said, you have granted this great salvation or victory. You have granted this great salvation by the hand of your servant. Shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? God split open a hollow place. Again, plot twist. God split open a hollow place that is at Lehi. Water came out of it. When he had drank, his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, the name was called En Hakore, whatever. The spirit of him who called. The spring of him who called. and it's at Lehi to this day. Then he has a career change. He judged Israel in the days of the Philistines for 20 years. So to me, I don't know if you read that and think there was a lot there. Am I way too hot? Am I need to move this? Way too hot. Stop, Haley. Stop. I wore my wedding ring so I don't get flirted with, you know? Let's pray. Lord, help us this morning. Help me, help me, help me. Jesus, help me. Teach us from this, Lord. You have wisdom on how to serve your way. Help this. Help me to make this clear. It's complicated, but help me to make it clear. You have instructions for us this morning. We ask you, Lord, for wisdom from your word, that we would learn from it, that we would take away something that'll become part of our life for a long, long time, that'll change our lives and the lives of many others. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have four lessons from Samson. Ready to buckle in? Four lessons from Samson. All right. So he's fighting an enemy, and he grabs a jawbone of a donkey. So sometimes God has you do unusual things in his service, you know? Sometimes you have your plan, and God has his plan, you know? So my point here is, number one, you can serve your way into significance. You can serve your way into significance. So I think sometimes when we're serving God, we're in church, you know, the way we serve God is not by killing Philistines. Thank God. It's way easier than that. Usually the Lord asks us to serve by doing something like, hey, could you be the greeter on Sunday morning? Yeah. Hey, at the end of service, can you come up to the front and be the prayer counselor? One person might come. No people might come. Three people might come. Could you serve, though? Hey, and serving in New Covenant in church, could you help clean the sanctuary? These are the kind of things that the Lord asks us to do to serve. Hey, there's a person that needs some help. Could you just go out of your way to help them? You know, the church is doing a project. Could you give towards it? These are the kind of ways that usually God asks us to serve. God asked Samson to serve in a different way. He was like, hey, buddy, it's going to be a weird Wednesday for you. You're going to get betrayed by your buddies, tied with two ropes, catch a bunch of foxes, burn the guy's thing down. Now the enemy's going to send 1,000 guys to come kill you. You're not going to have any weapons figured out. But I'll be with you. So you're like, oh, this is great. This is wonderful. So you can take something when you're in the kingdom. Serving in the kingdom is different than serving in the world. It's different than working in the world. It's different than just going about your life doing your own thing. You know, so sometimes the Lord gives you an assignment that you don't understand, that I don't understand, that doesn't really make sense naturally, because God has a bigger picture. You know, so sometimes we get focused on what's right in front of us, and we think, this is not enough. This is all I have. You know, I don't have the skill. I don't have the resources. I don't have the friends. It's about not what you know, but who you know. You look around at who you know, and you go, it's not going to work. Right? Sometimes you're faced with those kind of problems, you know? Samson's buddies betrayed him. Okay? So you have to take sometimes, serving in the kingdom, you have to take something meaningless, overlooked, something small, a task or an object. Maybe it even seems, get ready, seems like busy work. Sometimes serving God feels like busy work. Why? No one's going to notice. No one even cares. Why are we even doing that in the first place? No one wants to come to that. Blah. You have these thoughts, you know? Well, jawbone of a donkey. What is this? This is useless. Trash. It stinks. It's ugly. It's undignified. I am a warrior. I use swords. Don't give me this jawbone. It's nasty, you know? Sometimes when you're serving God, you have to do unusual things. Okay? So I'm going to interject a sub-point. In this story here, he's bound. The Lord He's helping him to fight an enemy. But do you notice what happened first? The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him before anything else happened. He had to get filled by the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And get ready, what happens? The ropes that were on his arms became as flax that caught fire. That means they fell apart. Or they melted off of his hands. I looked that word up. It really means like wax, melting like wax. So one of two things happened. Either he got so strong by the Spirit of God that he could break them off, or the ropes, the bondage actually melted. Either way, God did it. You know? So my point is, before he went to work, he had to get free. Okay? So it's really scriptural. This is my sub point, but it matters so much. In the airplane, you have to put your mask on first before you help those around you. And if you're not free, if you're bound, if you're stuck, if you're unsaved, if you're hurting, broke, depressed, bondage, bound, stuck, it's so hard to help others when you're not free yourself. And so the model says, get free first. Be filled with the Spirit first. Let the Lord take care of you first and set you free, and then go to work setting others free, and then go to fight the enemy. Because this would be a weird testimony. It's weird in so many ways, but it would be weirder if his hands were still tied, and then he picks up this thing and is like, hey, yah! That would be weirder. See how undignified I can be? Humility. It's an ongoing joke I have. Okay, but he had to get free first, because it's so much harder to fight the enemy when you're bound. Okay. Sub point completed. The Spirit of God broke off those bondages, melted them away. Then he picked up the tool that God used to defeat the enemy. Okay, so God can do anything. And he goes to work bumping those Philistines on the head with a donkey's jawbone. So then we ask this question. Following Samson's model, what is in your hand? You want to go to serve God? What is in your hand? What is within reach? What can you use to serve the Lord? I don't know how to play the guitar. That's not a skill that's available to me, but ooh, if the Spirit of God came upon me mightily. And all of you would suddenly fall over, shocked and amazed, you know? Okay, but you have to think to yourself, what's within reach to you at Rhema? Not within reach to me, right? You have a different set of circumstances, right? 20 goats come in the room, I have no clue what to do, but you, buddy, you got ideas. You know what I mean? I have no idea how to serve God with goats, but y'all could probably figure it out, you know? So the question is, what is within reach? What is in your hand? He can do more with it than you can. That jawbone on the ground, totally useless. But in the hands of a servant of God, look what happened. Amazing things happened. The enemy was defeated. Victory was won. And something meaningless and useless and small became significant. So you can serve your way into significance with God. You can serve your way into significance. And God, also important to remember, you can serve with what you have. You can serve with what you have right now. You can serve with what you have. So in order to begin serving God, you don't have to go to college again. You don't have to get another degree to begin serving God. You can serve God right now and also go get another degree. You don't have to change jobs to begin serving God. You can serve God in the job that you have now. You don't have to get married in order to begin serving God. You can begin serving God now and then become married and then continue to serve God in another way. So Samson didn't go, sorry guys, I can't fight today. I don't have the appropriate materials. Can you wait a minute? I'll come go get my stuff and come right back. The devil doesn't really let you do that. He's like, I'm here to fight. Let's do this now. What you got, you know? So the devil might be prepared even if you don't feel like you are, but in God, you can serve with what you have. You can serve with what you have. Point number two, serve according to your gifting. Kind of seems like a pivot. You can serve according to your gifting. So at the same time as sometimes you have to use random stuff. you know? But you using one tool, you have different gifting than I have. You might serve with that tool in a totally different way than I do, you know? But we can still serve significantly in God according to the way he's gifted us to do that, you know? So what do we all have? A phone. Everyone uses their phone, but we all use it differently. You know, I do stuff on my phone that you don't do on your phone, you know? I have conversations you don't have. You have different conversations. We use a tool differently, but according to our gifting, we serve significantly according to our gifting. How about a Bible verse? Let's do that. 1 Peter 4:9. Are y'all with me? 1 Peter 4:9. Check it out. It's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Show hospitality, 1 Peter 4:9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, oh Jesus. What's that word? Selah. La. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied or manifold grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, ready? Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. I'm like, whoa, that's what Samson was doing. He was serving as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So y'all did great job introing my message. Not by spirit, not by might, but by the spirit. Not by my own strength. My own strength. You see these things? Can't do much with them. But with his strength, I have so much, that reservoir. I have a reservoir. I have a battery pack. I have a whole nother gas tank that I can tap into. When challenges come, I'm like, oh, I don't have enough. He does. I don't have enough, but my dad does. This is something too big for me, but thank God. Without him, I'm nothing. But I'm not without him. I've never been without him. Isn't that amazing? He will not leave me or forsake me. I'm not without him. So I don't have to fight like I'm alone. I don't have to plan like I'm alone. I don't have to overthink it as though I have to figure it all out on my own. Because he's with me. He's so much smarter than me. He knows more than I know. He knows more than you know. He has more resources than you have. He has more wisdom, more resources, further reach than what we can do on our own. So I'm like, well, this is as far as I can go. Oh, God's like, I got that for you, buddy. You don't have to do all that. However, ready for this is the kingdom. You also just can't sit back and do nothing, okay? So you know what Samson didn't do? He didn't take the jawbone and say, I hereby smite thee. He didn't do that. In a different situation, you know, Moses did that with a snake on a stick. Okay, different situation though. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay, so hold on, don't get ahead of yourself, Buster. Okay, but we see the principle of stewardship. Okay, so stewardship means growing what you've been given. Stewardship, growing what you've been given. Okay, so if you've been given a talent, an ability, or a gift, or resources, and you sit on it and don't use it, that's poor stewardship. Obviously, we know if you lose the thing you've been given, that's bad stewardship. But actually, in God, if you've been given something and you don't grow it, that's poor stewardship. Because we just think, well, anybody can keep something hidden. Anybody can keep something away. Anybody can sit on it. We're looking for someone who can take this and turn it into more. We're looking for someone who can take an impossible situation and make something out of it, you know? So stewardship means growing what you've been given, growing the gifts that God has put inside of you. He doesn't give you fully developed gifts and abilities. God really doesn't give us fully developed gifts and abilities. And so everyone's got muscles. Some people develop them more than others. Everybody has the ability to speak or to sing or to play an instrument, but some people develop that gift so much more than others. You know, everybody has the ability, you know, the same 24 hours every day. Some people do so much more in one day than others. You know, Samson's like killing fox. What is he doing with the foxes? He's catching them. He's doing, I haven't done anything with any foxes, you know? He's killed 1,000 people and I'm still working on my first. Some of y'all are at least one ahead of me. There'll be an altar call at the end. So I'm pretty sure that Samson did not specifically train to use donkey bones in combat, right? He did not train to use donkey bones in combat, right? You know? Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, oh Lord, help me. But just like David against Goliath, Samson had been spending years in training, and then this is the moment where preparation met opportunity. I think about granddad. Where preparation met opportunity. Okay, and he said, wait a second. I know how to fight. I just don't have something. God, use what I've got. Okay. Every member of the body of Christ has a specific gifting, skill, a set talent, and an ability. We need one another. The body of Christ can not only be eyes, you know, eyes, hands, feet, mouth. We all kind of imagine. Wouldn't that be nice to be that part of the body of Christ? If you kind of imagine a body that's only eyes, feet, hands, and mouth, it's kind of awkward. It's kind of a weird-looking thing. We were at a nativity scene with Liam, and there's these big angels with big wings, beautiful-looking woman, man, person, with wings and a trumpet, and Liam goes, what's that? I was like, Liam, that's an angel. He goes, and I wrote it down. He said, I thought angels was just a bunch of eyeballs. I'm like, well, the Bible does describe it like that, you know, that one place. He's like, oh, that's not scary. Thank you. So, you know, that'd be kind of weird if that was the body of Christ, just a bunch of eyeballs. Well, we need other things. You know, think about in the body of Christ, in a body, we need breathing. We need circulation. We need seeing, hearing, talking, tasting, touching. You know, we also need a liver. You can't live a day without it, and it's ugly and slimy and gross. But man, I'm glad I've got one. You know, I really, really need it bad. Okay. Exactly. And you need a few of some things, like kidneys. It's, you can have one. Works better with two, you know? So we all have to be serving according to our gifting. Serve according to your gifting, okay? The Lord takes care of his servants. Point three, we're moving along. The Lord takes care of his servants. Do you notice here? Once Samson fights, he kills 1,000 men. And then he's a dramatic guy, apparently, right? Subject to radical mood swings. He said, I love this, though. He kind of beats his chest and he says, you have granted this great victory by the hand of your servant. And shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of these uncircumcised? And it's like, he needs some water. You know, it's not, you ever felt like, if I don't eat or drink right now, I am going to lose it, you know? And you know what I love, though? God doesn't say, you arrogant son of a gun. No, just die. God goes, it's okay, bud. Cracks a rock open and water comes out. And he gets, watch, when he drank, his spirit returned and he revived. You know, so you might feel like you're on the edge of burnout and you're only moments away from revival. Isn't that amazing? I have nothing left. Get filled by the Spirit of God. Ah, everything's fine.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing how that can go? You know, you can be right on the edge, but one touch from God can change everything. Then they named that place the spring of the one who called out. And so when you need a touch from God, you need to call out and ask him. He's not obligated to do it for you. Just like you don't just pick up the donkey's bone and just say, figure it out. You say, God, I need more. I need refreshing. I can't do this on my own. Humility. I can't do this on my own. This is not my thing. This is your thing. Help, God, help me. I want to do it your way. I want to be filled by your spirit. It's not just my intellect. It's not just my great ideas. It's not just my muscles, Braden. It's not just my big old muscles, you know. I need the Spirit of God to help me. I want to do so much more than what one person can do on my own. I want to do what a man filled by God can do. So the Lord takes care of his servants. Psalm 35, 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God, that's in the Bible. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. You don't want your kids just struggling, hurting, broke, starving when you have food in the pantry? What? No. Bored when there's toys in the other room? No, you want them to enjoy the things you've prepared for them. So I was praying about this, and the Lord said it to me like this. I'm committed to prosper those who are committed to serve. I'm committed to prosper those who are committed to serve. So if you've committed to serve, you have a promise backing you. He's not going to let his kids serve and serve and serve and kill thousands and thousands of enemies and then just die. That's not how God works. That's how the world wants you to think. Oh, you're giving all your money to the church. Good luck ever having anything. No. When you serve and give, you give your life. It's about so much more than your time or your money, even though it requires your time and your money. But you give everything you've got to God, and he gives you everything he's got. That's a covenant. Everything I have for everything you have. Wow. Everything I am for everything you are. You know, you enter a marriage, it's all combined. Me and Haley started out, nothing. You know, I was like, do you have a bank account? She's like, yep, it's empty. I was like, cool. Mine's basically empty. Mine's 1 month away from empty. Let's figure this out. Jesus, help us, you know? So we combined all of it. And 30 days later, it was out. But we didn't die. So we had to go to work, you know? So if you committed to serve the Lord, he has promised he will give you everything that you need to serve. Prosperity is having more than enough of everything you need. So this is for somebody today. Prosperity is having more than enough of everything you need in order to fulfill the will of God for your life. Okay. More than enough of everything you need to fulfill the will of God for your life. The Lord takes care of his servants. Number four, servanthood is seasonal. Ready? Sonship is eternal. Servanthood is seasonal, sonship is eternal. Samson fought those guys, killed 1,000 of them. You know what he did next? He tossed away the bone. Theme here, what did Samson not do? Samson did not become a donkey jawbone warrior trainer. He didn't say, oh, I figured something out, let's do this. You want to enroll? You go bring a jawbone. Not a goat jawbone, not a pig jawbone. The secret is donkey jawbones. This is not what he did, you know? Because sometimes God puts you in a situation where you have to serve specifically, and then the season ends. So what's cool about seasons in nature is they change, and then after a while they repeat. But it doesn't just, we don't go like, oh, we have a year of winter. It goes from season to season to season, and you have to utilize that season, and then the season changes, and you do different stuff in the next season, yeah. You know? So don't get stuck in what God means to be a season. Don't get stuck in something that's meant to be a season, you know? So that's why I say servanthood is seasonal, but sonship is eternal. You're always going to serve, but how are you going to serve? The Lord said it like this to me. You can serve better as a son than a slave. You can serve better as a son than a slave, which means at my dad's house, I can open the fridge and get out what I want. Because he already told me, hey, whatever's in the fridge, you can have. You know? So I don't have to say, please, daddy, can I have something from the fridge? No, he's like, can you just go get it out of the fridge? It's there. I've made it available. It's for you. Eat it. Use it. So we hear this here where I'm saying on one side, you don't just do your own thing. You have to serve according to how he says to serve. You know, sometimes it's unusual, a jawbone, not a sword. But at the same time, he empowers you and gives you that, and you have to use it. You have to use authority sometimes when you'd rather just use, you know, rest. Yeah, that's right. When you just rather sit back and like, Lord, smite them. No, you got to smack them. You know? So sometimes you're like, why is God not delivering me out of this problem? He's like, buddy, I put that jawbone in your hand. If you would just use it, it'll work. You know? So I also think, what did the Lord do? He strengthened Samson, but he also did something to that tool. Okay, so I think, you know, I'm not a jawbone expert here. Maybe one of you are, is. But you have this jawbone. I'm thinking, to hit 1,000 guys, probably going to break. Do you hit him one time? Do you hit him two times? How many times you got to hit a guy on the head to kill him with a jawbone? Test it, maybe? You know, but like probably 2 or 3 whacks is what I'm thinking. So you're going to hit something 2,000 times, it's probably going to break. Probably God strengthened the tool. Okay, so God can use a tool in a way that no one else can use it. So you think at your job, can't minister here, might get fired. No, if you do it filled by the Spirit of God, you can use that platform in a way that no one else can. God can use that resource in a way that if someone without God tried to do that, it would fail. But someone with God does that, it works. And that is living by the Spirit. That is living by faith. Is on the outside, it looks like normal people doing normal things. But normal people doing normal things with supercharged tools. Yeah, anointed. That's right. So you have to think, I'm serving not as a slave. I'm not a regular person. I'm not actually from here. I'm serving with heaven's resources. I'm serving with supercharged power tools. I'm not a regular guy. I joke around, there's this, in high school, in college, there was this girl that said she was a psychic, and I was like, yeah, right? So I was like, she's like, well, I'm gonna do my thing. I was like, try. And she goes, I can sense what kind of spirit you have. I said, bet. She did her thing, which was basically just kind of like, and I was like, what'd you find out? She goes, normal human spirit. I was like, wrong-o. I'm not normal, first of all. Look twice. Second of all, I got something on the inside. Your detector's off. You know, that thing's supposed to beep. You know, I was like, I'm not normal. I'm not from here. I got something else. I got the juice, baby. I got the juice. All right? You must have never tasted the juice before. You know what I'm saying? Because I got the juice. All right? So get ready. So let's land this thing. Serve as a son, not as a slave. Mimi, Barb. Samson tossed away the bone. He didn't become a donkey jawbone warrior trainer. He was faithful in the season, and the Lord promoted him. If you haven't been promoted in a while, consider how you're stewarding what's in your hand. Oh, that's awkward. Okay. But think about it. Steward what you have, make it grow, you get promoted. So the Lord has plans for your life that you imagine. And you're thinking, oh, this is my dream. I know God put this in my heart. I have this talent, this ability, this gifting. What am I supposed to do with it? I can see it. You can see it sometimes, what God has for you. Well, you have that talent, ability, gifting. But what he's saying, stewardship says, that talent that you have it at a level 2. In order to use you the way that I want to use you, you need to steward that talent up to a level 8, and then I can use you. So it says in that verse, serve without grumbling. That's level 1 servanthood. That's loser level servanthood. I'm like, I will dust this thing off, but I'm so mad about it. I'm so overqualified to vacuum the sanctuary. Those water bottles better straighten themselves out because I get paid so much more per hour at my job than what I do around here. Serving at church is okay, but you just really don't get paid that much. They're really blessed to have me. If they only knew. When I go other places, people say, hey. When I come here, they just say, hey. Loser. All right? So, we actually don't need that around here. I've been guilty of this, right? Humility. Ongoing joke. So, we don't need that. Like, God doesn't need that. The world can have that. You know, little devils can act like that. You know, but we don't need level one griping, complaining, serving. We need spirit-empowered serving. We need serving not by might, not by how I am feeling today, not by what I feel like I could be capable of doing in the church. No, you know what? And I don't like doing this, but I do it. But being the prayer counselor and then no one comes, I'm like, how can they tell from so far away that I haven't had a mint? But they can. I'm like, is it the shirt I wore? What is it? Well, but there's got to be three people. There has to be, you know? So you sometimes have to serve and you think someone's going to get breakthrough. Ready? You have to sometimes serve and you know, no other person might benefit from this. But I am going to serve not unto people, but unto God. And even if I clean this thing, this toilet, if I clean this toilet and no one ever uses it, God noticed. If I organize this thing and no one shows up, God noticed. If I give this money and the church buys another wreath, guess what? You didn't give it to the church. You gave it to God. If you care about what they do with it, you're not giving to God. Okay? You know? So sometimes you have to give, and Pastor Steve said it, but yeah, I have these funny memories of as a teenager coming up with the old building to the church and thinking, I learned you're supposed to serve in church, so I'm going to come and serve in church. And they're like, I was like, I'll be an intern. They're like, what's an intern? I was like, me, hello. And I was like, I'm just looking for opportunity to serve. We had this old fridge in the church. I cleaned it out so good, and they threw it away the next day. I thought, dang it. I probably was cleaning a broken fridge, you know? But guess what? I wasn't serving unto fridges. I wasn't serving unto churches. I wasn't serving unto pastors, in-laws, trying to date their daughter, marry her one day, get a dowry. We're all still waiting on that. We're doing monthly installments. Get that out of here. I'm not serving unto people, serving unto God. You know, and so in the same way, jawbone of a donkey, what is this? You want me to do that with what? No, that's not how it is. You say, Lord, what do you want me to do? This is not my plan. This is your plan. What do you want for me to do? What do you want for me to do? Not what do I want to do for you. What do you want me to do for you? Because I'm not the king. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I didn't pay the price. He did. If he paid for me, I'm his. So that means I don't get to control it. He wants me to do certain things. I do them. I enjoy them. Actually get rewarded for it. That's wild. Because we don't serve as slaves. We serve as sons. Okay, so there's inheritance. There's reward. Servanthood is seasonal, but sonship is eternal. So you think, I have covenant with my Father. I have covenant with the one who brings the Spirit to me. I have covenant with the giver of life, and that's, I serve from that place. I serve from that place. So you change in your mind. There's a big difference between donkey bones defeat Philistines versus with God, I can defeat any enemy that dares to stand up against me. There's a big difference between jawbones kill Philistines or, hey, you know what? Whatever comes my way, I can handle it. Because I'm with God. It's a huge thing. We'll end with this here. Being filled with the Spirit produced four results in a progression. Progressive Christianity? I like this version. He went from freedom to victory, revival, and then legacy. Do we have that? Yes. First, he got free. The shackles came off. He fought and got victory. He went to the Spirit again, got revival, and then they named the place after what happened. Legacy. So every generation, did Samson have kids? I don't think so. Delilah? So, but everyone knew that place was named after the guy that called out to God. That other place was named after the hill of the jawbone. That place that a man filled by the Spirit of God defeated 1,000 enemies with a weird, meaningless tool. So he went from freedom to victory, got revival, and then it produced legacy. So it didn't end with him. It went on and on. And so sometimes you're thinking, God, I just need a drink of water, I might die. He's saying, I'm going to make a spring. It's going to help you today, tomorrow, and everyone ever, forever that comes after you. So you're thinking about right now. He's thinking about eternity. And so we serve not just for the moment. We serve unto eternity.